On Wednesdays, we've been taking a look at things, everything pertaining to the grape, or most everything, if we can, as we can in the Scripture, and trying to touch on all aspects of that, seeing how the Lord uses such and refers to such in so many ways, and it's just a very, very interesting to me how the Lord has used that of the grape and of the grapevine and such as that. We're at this point of allegory in the Scripture and that of parables, the Lord using these references. We've got a handful of key words and that we're looking at or phrases, the grape or the vine, any form of such, a drunk, a wine, the cup, a strong drink, and the drink offering, as we've taken a look at. Tonight, we want to take a look over here. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 7 in the Sermon on the Mount and take a look at a reference that the Lord made using such to describe the way it is with people and the way it is with us, His children, and really everyone. But we want to take it to heart to ourselves. The title I've placed on the message tonight, The Fruit by Which We Are to Be Known, or the fruit for which we are known. And so there's the to be, or there is the are. And I pray that we would be known by these fruits. In Matthew chapter 7, Sermon on the Mount, verse number 15, beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. You shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. And so the Lord uses a handful of different things that grow. And he explains to us about what they bear. In particular, he's speaking about these false prophets. They come in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are wolves. That's part of what the pastor's job is, to be looking out for wolves, because wolves are out there. And he says these wolves, these ravening wolves, these men, these false prophets in sheep's clothing will be known by their fruits. And so is that all that the reference extends to? Is that all that it is? When you go to gather grapes, do you do it of a thorn bush? No. Figs, if you go and pick figs off of a fig tree, do you go to the thistle tree or the... We've got, I think, a locust tree around here. It's got some mean thorns on it. It doesn't bear any kind of fruit that we care for or want. It's just not so, is it? They bear the fruit that they have, and good trees bring forth good fruit, and corrupt trees bring forth evil fruit. We know what it says there about those that are corrupt. They will be burned. So here directly in the context, is it just so that we might know about false prophets and such as that? Well, it's not. In Luke chapter 6, the Lord Jesus makes a different reference here, and usage is rendered here in the Scripture in Luke chapter 6, very similar to the certain Sermon on the Mount. And in Luke 6:43, we want to pick up here. For a good tree bringeth not forth corrupt fruit. For a good tree bringeth not forth corrupt fruit. Neither doth a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. For every tree is known by his own fruit. So now, not just false prophets, wolves in sheep's clothing, but you and I are known by the fruit that we bear forth. Every tree is known by his own fruit, for of thorns men do not gather figs, nor of a bramble bush gather they grapes. You don't get grapes from a bramble. We know that, don't we? A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. And then we have this that is added in regards to this subject and this uh, this uh, thing that is being spoken about here about fruit, for of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaketh. And so then when we speak, we give ourselves away. We need to know that. How is it that we speak? How is it that what comes out of us, good fruit or not? So in light of that, we just want to take a look tonight about what the Lord says that is the case with the children of God, or should be the case with the children of God. I invite you to turn over here to Galatians chapter 5. I trust that this is a familiar passage to you, and during my pastorate here, I've touched on it many times. I need reminded of it. I need reminded of it often, and I want to be an example of these things. I fail in many ways, but we need to pursue this. We need to know this, that this is what the Spirit within us does yield. And we need to put down the flesh, because it's not natural. This chapter speaks about the works of the flesh, and we'll not deal with those there in verses 19 through 21. But in verses 22 on, we want to take a look here quickly about the fruit of the Spirit and what they are. Circumspect, introspect about ourselves, and do we strive to bear these fruit? Good trees bear good fruit, and evil trees bear evil fruit. And what is it that we bear? Our mouth gives us away. May the Lord help us. But the fruit of the Spirit, verse 22 of Galatians 5, is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Let's read on. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. And so we're told about the works of the flesh earlier on in the chapter, before this portion about the fruit of the Spirit, and it tells what is an ongoing work for us, for the child of God, is to crucify the flesh. It's got affections and lust. It's got what it wants to do that is against God, and we've got to crucify it. If we live in the Spirit, saved, let us also walk in the Spirit. So that's living life. If we've been saved by the Lord, we need to walk in His Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vain glory, provoking one another, envying one another, for example. And so the empty glory of the world and the way that that is amongst natural man, the provoking of people and that, and the jealousy of one another, that is to be passed from us. And we are to behave, operate. I try to avoid the word act, because you know what? You and I don't need to act. We're not actors. We're people that have been saved and changed. Our behavior is to be different, not an act put on, okay? Not an act put on. The fruit of the Spirit is love. This, three forms of the word love that is used, agape, related to agape love. The agape itself is that where there's just an abundance of this love with legs on it. It's love that drives one to do something. And not love that's just spoken about, not just affection that's spoken about, but love that causes one, care that causes one to do something. There's this of the love feast, agape, that's referenced here. And then there's that of the noun of that, where we have and exhibit love. And then we have that of the verb, where we love someone, where the action of doing it. All of them related to this, of this love charity with legs on it. It needs to, it's a hallmark of the children of God. The Lord tells us, as He has loved us, let us love one another that way. That's a tall order. That's what we need to do. We need to do that. And of course, we also are to love sinners as our Lord has loved us in the sinful state that we are. Not condoning sin. This is something that we wrangle with and deal with. We want to stand for the truth of the Lord and His way and His word. And sometimes that we are tempted to think that that means a vehemence. But we need to stand And we need to be stalwart in what the Lord has given us to do and stand by, not be a pushover in any way, but then exhibit these fruit in that stand. You know, I was thinking in before coming to preach tonight about it's not a thing that we need, but if we could have seen how the Lord Jesus operated, and we see the Lord Jesus here in the scripture, and this is what we have. But I to see the Lord Jesus exhibit what is natural for him and what he's bestowed and given unto us by virtue of saving us, I think in many respects we might be surprised. In many respects we might not have thought it'd be that way. But the Lord, may the Lord help us that we seek his face regarding these and that we exhibit these. We can stand. And having done all to stand, we are to stand. But you don't have to be mean to stand. Meanness is not one of the fruits. That's the flesh. And sometimes we, with zeal gets misplaced, and we think that we've got to be mean or angry or wrathful. And we're not to be. We're to stand and weather the way of the world and not give in to the way the flesh wants to be. Next here we see joy. And joy is different, I believe, in the scriptures than happiness. Cheerfulness, calm delight. Our joy is in our Lord. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Now, he saved us. He's rescued us. He's given us all things. It's easy to say, but we know that it's so, and the scripture tells us, even if this life is just terrible, we know we have a home, and we know we have a relief. We know we have an eternity with our Lord that will make this place and this time just seem like a little speck of the life that the Lord has given us. A joy in the Lord. We look at the Lord and he causes us to rejoice. We need to rejoice in who he is. They say that that's a failing of we here in North America, in the United States. It's said by some that we in our culture have a tendency to rejoice in the Lord and what he's done for us, and we should. But then Eastern nations, European nations, Eastern nations, when they look on at a deity, they look to worship them for who they are. Isn't that an interesting thing? See, we don't have a monarch. We don't have a king. We're not conditioned in that way. In many countries, even though they might have an oppressive king, they glory in their leader and the majesty and the might of their leader. We need to do both. Thank him for what he's done and praise him and rejoice in him for who he is. It does us well to do so. The next one that's mentioned here is peace. Quiet rest. Peace. There's no peace on this earth. There's no peace that men can bring. There will come a time where they say peace and safety, and it'll be a false peace. It's a false peace that leads nothing but to death and destruction. It's short-lived in the peace that man finds. Mankind tries to find peace in drugs, trying to find peace in money and power and control. And when they get to the end of that, it's just empty, empty, empty. Find peace in taking life and hoarding it up for self. And get to the end of that, there's just no peace there. But in our Lord, there's peace. And we are to be a peaceful people, even in the storm of unrest of this world and of men and mankind and the way of the world. We have peace with our Lord. There's no greater thing than to have peace with God because of what Jesus has done for us. A peaceful people, indeed. Next here that we see in the list is long-suffering. To be long-suffering. I think about the Lord Jesus and how he dealt with the apostles. He was long-suffering, wasn't he? We marvel in that. He tells them over and over. We read it in the scriptures. We receive it. We believe him when he says a year before he goes to the cross that he's going to do it. And then he says it 2 years before or a year and 2 years as he's dealing with the apostles. And they're going, huh? They just don't get it. We receive, he's long-suffering with them. Well, it turns out he's long-suffering with us too. We piddle and fiddle around with things we shouldn't. We get distracted. We go off. We need to be a long-suffering, a forbearing people, a patient people. It's these, we find that these fruits of the Spirit are kind of, some of them are rolled up together. We use other of them to describe another. Long-suffering doesn't mean to put up with sin and disobedience against God. It doesn't talk about, it's not talking about, it's speaking about joining the sinful ways and works of men and of the flesh. It's not talking about that. But sometimes we just have to bear with things. We have to forbear with things. We need to be patient with things. We need to pray. I think long-suffering is one thing that will drive us to prayer when we are in a place where we need to be long-suffering. We pray that the Lord will help in that situation and help us that we would suffer long. How long, the Lord Jesus Christ said, how long shall I suffer you? He said that more than once. Gentleness, a kindness and a gentleness. There's a care that's there, a doing that's there, and being gentle. We can be gruff and rough and that. And you know what? We need to be a gentle people. We need to be gentle as our Lord is. What's the picture that's given about our Lord? A shepherd. A shepherd that doesn't overdrive the sheep, that knows the care that's needed for the sheep. Sheep are, I understand, are dumb, don't know what's good for them, and need a lot of patience and care and direction to be dealt with and to make it to some profitable end. Gentleness, we need to be gentle, don't we? It's not natural for mankind to be gentle, but our Lord is gentle. He's gentle indeed. I think about the gentleness of the Lord as he takes and he brings a sinner unto understanding about his sin and about his need. It can be very scary for us, and was scary for me as the Lord showed me my sin and showed me the threat of hell and the lake of fire forever. And but you know what? In the end, he was long-suffering and gentle in bringing me along to show me the truth. He could have squashed me like a bug. Sent people in my life to carry that good news unto me. Goodness. Goodness is kind of more of a general kind of term. It speaks of virtue and beneficence. It's goodness and joy, the goodness and peace, just to be good. Not to be evil, but to have virtue. To be like the Lord, who is eternally good. You remember how it was when you were a kid and maybe even grown up. Say, well, you just want to be goody two-shoes when you wanted to obey. Well, the Lord always obeyed. The Lord, as a child, obeyed. As a teenager, as a young person, he obeyed. Did Jesus ever bend the rules? Did Jesus ever kick at the rules? He obeyed, didn't he? He was good. We need to be good. Then we see this here, that of faith. The fruit of the Spirit is faith. So wait a minute. Faith is how we've arrived. How faith is, we're saved by grace through faith, right? Saved by grace through repentance and faith. How is it that the fruit of the Spirit manifests faith? Well, just like with this thing that's going on in the world today. Well, just one thing. There's this virus in the world. People are very scared about it. As I mentioned earlier, we need to be wise. We don't need to knee-jerk react. We need to pray into our Lord first and foremost, first and last and in between. And we need to trust our Lord that he will help us. He'll give us wisdom. He'll give us understanding, courage. As the children of God, we need to exhibit faith in our lives. We need to do what the Lord gives us to do that he lays in front of us to do, and we need to trust him for all things. Have faith in him. Conviction. There's that of faith being used as a noun, the faith The faith is given to us as the Lord's people and the Lord's churches. There's that which is given to us that we need to exhibit. We go to the Bible to understand what we need to believe, and we're interested in taking everything that it says cover to cover and applying that to our lives and our families and to our church. We get ridiculed for that. We get made fun of that. Ever heard anybody say, all I do is go back to the Bible? Well, yeah, that's the faith. Therein is the faith. That's what the Lord tells us. We need to be people that and the children of the Lord that exhibit such faith. Now, the Lord says he wants us to do it or stay away from it. That's what he means. And we're to receive that joyfully. Amen? And it'll bring us peace. Then there's this of meekness. Now, meekness is misunderstood. It's thought many times that meekness means weak, but it doesn't mean weak. Listen, when you can take a gold calf or two and grind it up to powder and put it in a stream and cause 1.5 million people to drink it, and then the Lord says you're the meekest man in all the earth, I think we see, the way I look at, understand meekness and try to express it and relay it to others, to you, you've heard me say it, it seems to be that meekness is this power under control. Just because you can doesn't mean you should. And granted, Moses couldn't have whipped 1.5 million people physically, but I tell you what, probably any one of them he could have whipped. But you know what? He did not do it, but he used what the Lord had given him to do the work and the calling of the Lord that the Lord had laid upon him in his life. Power under control, submissive. Even though we could go do a thing, but we're submissive in that ability, in that power, in that strength, submissive rather to the will of our Lord. How he would have us to be. Jesus, as we sing, could have called 10,000 angels. But you know what? He didn't need to call 10,000 angels. He could have just come off the cross at his will. But you know what? He came meek and lowly, and he suffered a thing that was unjust and he was not deserving of. But he did so for us. Power under control indeed. Then there's this of temperance. It speaks that and does kind of overlap with this of meekness, self-control. Self-control. Again, just because we can in some things doesn't mean that we should. We need to be self-controlled. We need to think about what the Lord says about a thing, what the Lord instructs us about a thing before we speak or before we act. We need to seek the Lord's face. Just because this flesh, this old body can do it, maybe it's just not what the will of the Lord would be for us to do or be, especially if it crosses up against these fruits of the Spirit or it laps back over here into these works of the flesh. We need to be a self-controlled people, don't we? And we might be representative of our Lord. It says there in verse 23, against such there is no law. No law. Thou shall and thou shall not. You know, you take the Ten Commandments, and granted, we have not kept them. But as the commandments are listed, four in our behavior, our way towards God, our relationship before God, and then six of them in our relationship one with another. If you don't steal, you've completed that. And as long as you stay on the not steal inside of steal, you've not stolen, and the law is fulfilled. You've fulfilled it. But you know what? You and I can't love enough. Can't ever get to the end of fulfilling love. Can't ever be, well, I've been temperate long enough now, I'm going to kind of, no. You can't get to the end of temperance. You can't get to the end of being gentle, because you know what's going on with us here in this life? Time is. The fruits of the Spirit exercised in our life past is nothing that we can bring up here and call up to exercise today. We've got to be so today in these things, this moment, this hour. There is no law. There is no limit. There is no fulfilling. Aren't you glad that the Lord, aren't you thankful? Aren't you and I thankful that our Lord continues to be good to us? What if our Lord quit being good to us? He's been good to me for 54 years. I'm thankful that I have His promise that He will be good to me through the rest of this life and the life to come. You see what I'm saying? He's not going to quit being good. He's not going to quit in His meekness and such as that in regards to this sinner that He saved. Being gentle and long-suffering as His Son redeemed, and you that are saved, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, our place with the Lord is secure in eternity because of Him. But I tell you what, you and I both know He needs to be long-suffering with us yet. I'm glad that there's no end to that. Against such there is no law. We always need to be looking at these and having a mind towards these. And, you know, it would do us well to read this passage often. Because that is what the Spirit within us is to yield. Let us not grieve Him. Let us not quench Him. Because the Scripture says that we can. There's no limit. And you know what? There's no completion in these, as we've alluded to, mention. In Colossians chapter 3, I just want to read another passage here. We'll not spend time to expound upon it much. But let's just read it here. And listen for what you hear here in Colossians 2, verse number 12. We'll start there. Verse 12 through 17. Put on therefore as the elect of God, chosen in Him before the foundation of the world, that for which the Lord Jesus died for on the cross of Calvary. There was for the a purpose for every atonement. It was known for every atonement, and it was known for the atonement of our Lord Jesus Christ. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved we are, bowels of mercies. If we take a look at the Greek, it's talking about down there where your spleen is. It's not talking about the physical parts of the body, is it? But that's the way the language works. Bowels of mercies, desire. Yearning and mercies poured out from the person as a parent would for a child, but even to our neighbor. Kindness, humbleness. Our Lord was humble, wasn't He? Humbleness of mind. We may be blessed in great ways, with ability, understanding, power, such as that, things of the world. But we need to think no more of ourselves than we ought to think, and use all for the honor and glory of the Lord and the furtherance of His kingdom. There's that meekness again and that long-suffering again. Verse number 13, speaking to us as children, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. This is written to the church at Colossae and written to us here at Olmsted Baptist Church. Forbearing one another and forgiving one another, because we are going to get on one another's nerves and we are going to offend one another. I'm not looking for that. I don't want that, but it's going to happen. And we need to be of a mind to do so. Deal with it the way our Lord has said, or to deal with it as our Lord has said in His Word, or deal with it as our Lord deals with it often. Forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these, put on charity. There's that agapeos, that love with action, which is the bond of perfectness. That phrase there, the bond of perfectness, has always stuck out to me from very early on after the Lord saved me. Charity is the bond. the stickum of perfectness, maturity. And let the peace of God, there's peace again, the peace of God rule in your hearts. Let it rule. Let it rule, to the which also you're called in one body. And be ye thankful, a thankful people. Indeed, thankfulness unto our Lord for all that he is and all that he's done for us. And let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. What the Lord has said in his word, out of his mouth, his breathed, inspired word, let it dwell in you richly. I mean, a lot in there, and understanding in there, and learning in there, and interconnection in there. Teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. To be mature enough to be a teacher and an admonisher. A helper. Not only one that takes, but one that gives. One that encourages. One that uplifts. There's a part there for each and every one. In psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. He is gracious to us, and we need to be a gracious people too. Grace, isn't that how it's defined? Grace is defined by giving what's not deserved. That's what he's done for us. His grace being bestowed upon us is to make us a gracious people ourselves and to others. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, what we say, what we do, what we think, our conversation is how it's referenced also in the scriptures, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. In the week, have you been able to do all that you've done in the name of the Lord Jesus? I'm going to do this in the name of the Lord Jesus. Or would that be something that we would steer away from for some things? And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Father, we come to you in the name of our Lord Jesus, and we're thankful for all that you have done for us. Oh, may the Lord help us in these things. In conclusion, every tree is known by its fruit, and that includes you and me. And watch out for our mouth. It gives us away. It tells what's in the heart. May the Lord help us to remember that. And may we not be actors, but may our behavior be changed by the Lord. Not to suck up what the world says and the way this old flesh wants to be, but to be like our Lord Jesus. To love one another that the world might know that we're his disciples. And to love the sinner, to love the neighbor, our neighbor as ourselves. And be a good witness of the Lord Jesus Christ unto them. A child of God is known by his and her fruit. His or her fruit. There is no limit. We can't do too much. And we always need to be working to exhibit them. You know, in thinking about this and preparing for this message, you realize that when we blast out of here and go on into eternity to be with the Lord, that we'll continue to manifest and exhibit these fruit. It'll just keep right on going. See, it's not just for right now. It's for eternity. Because that's the way the Lord is, and we'll be like him. So we need to start working on it now, don't we? May the Lord help us.